Let me ask you about something that's very close to my center of wonderment in this universe, and that's about consciousness.
Oh, yes.
We were talking about consciousness in the first hour, a little bit. And I heard somebody come on this program, and I don't recall who, and it doesn't matter, in the last week or so or something or another, said animals have no soul. Now, that's perhaps a little bit of a leap from a discussion of consciousness, but let's, or maybe it isn't, I'm not sure. Define for me what you believe consciousness to be.
Well, first of all, we could understand the universe, well, it would be able to understand the universe much better if there was no, if there wasn't such a thing as consciousness. The stars would shine, and all the laws of physics would take place, and everything would happen without any life or consciousness, and it would be much easier to understand. The only problem, of course, is that we wouldn't be here to understand it. So consciousness is the most amazing...
Defined consciousness for me. What is consciousness, Adair?
Well, this is the subject of many arguments, what is consciousness.
Is it self-awareness? In other words...
That's part of it. But what we have here is we have various schools of thought. Now, one school of thought...
You are a presenter of various schools of thought, aren't you?
Yeah. You want to know what I think?
Yeah, sure. What do you think consciousness is?
Well, I think consciousness has arisen from what I consider to be a parallel universe.
Really?
Yes, I consider there to be a parallel universe which has a boundary or an intersection with our universe. Now, the physical universe with its atoms and its protons and its various and its stars and all the laws of physics mm-hmm. is intersected by a parallel universe which has ethics and mathematics and aesthetics, and it's intersected through consciousness throughout the universe. This is what I think.
That there is a universal consciousness. You think there is a consciousness beyond the individual self-awareness. You think there is a greater collective consciousness.
Well, I think that there certainly could be. And I think that
I do too.
I mean, we know that mathematics is something beyond ourselves, because certain aspects of mathematics have been discovered before their actual practical applications. For instance, if you take a cone and cut it in various ways, if you cut it horizontally straight, it divides it into a circle. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
And if you cut it one way, you get straight lines. You cut it another way, you get a different... This was discovered by Apollonius, I think, in about 300 BC or something. And it's only lately we've discovered that these sections not only describe the various orbits that comets and planets and stars make, it also describes a lot of the electrical theory as well. Now, Apollonius didn't know that when he was investigating conic sections. And so it seems that mathematics is definitely something beyond us. It's not something that we've invented. And I say that is part of the evidence that there is some kind of platonic universe intersecting through consciousness, where all the things that we think of, like beauty and love and compassion and justice and so on, exist. And we live.
Adair, do you imagine that consciousness could be a force, that a directed consciousness could in fact be a force in the universe, that if many minds wished for something to occur, that it might occur?
I wouldn't think so. I mean... If you take two people that want something to occur, it's no more likely to occur than if one person wants it. Hmm. The same as you pay mm-hmm. 10
Well, all
people.
Right. Here's something then for you to chew over. You are aware, no doubt, of the the academic institution called Princeton, right?
Yes.
Princeton is doing a series of experiments now in which they have taken what they call eggs. Now, these eggs really are computers.
Yes.
And they generate random numbers. And these eggs are located geographically all around the world, in major cities and capitals and all around the world.
Yes.
And they just sit out there spitting out random numbers. But Princeton, a number of years ago, began, and all of these eggs report back to the big egg at Princeton. And they began looking at a correlation between these eggs suddenly reporting a non-random a response from the computers in certain areas, and corresponding world events. For example, when 9/11 occurred, the Twin Towers came down and it hit off the charts. These computers that were spitting out random numbers began to get more and more less and less random, if you'll pardon me. In other words, something happened. When major world events occur, there is some sort of effect on these eggs, or computers, if you will, and then to the master computer. In other words, they're registering these incredibly large world events. Now, what do you suppose they might be measuring, Adair?
Well, it completely baffles me because I don't see how there can be any actual connection.
Yes, but there seems to be, and they've got quite a bit of history now with this, watching the 9/11 event, but that was just the most recent stunning example. Other large events have been also registered, and so there's some collective force out there obviously acting on these random number generators and causing a change.
Well, I also have the theory that there's no such thing as random.
that may be so. I don't know. I'm just.
When you think you're generating random numbers, you're not.
You're not.
And it may have something to do with that. I can't explain that. But as far as actual consciousness is concerned, that I can explain the various theories that people have. But it is very strange because when you think of it, if you read stories about statues in a story, you have a statue, then the statue suddenly comes to life. Well, we all think, you know, this is just a story. And, but in fact, if you go over about 3 or 4 billion years, it's true, because here you have a universe with completely non-conscious elements, carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, and so on, hydrogen, and you put them all together, and suddenly you're finding a living person with the sense of identity who can think. How on earth can these conscious thoughts arise from non-conscious material? That is the real question.
Well, then based on most of what I think I've heard you say, wouldn't prayer, you know, praying to God, wouldn't that be more or less a total waste of time, Adair?
Yes, I don't think, even Rabbi Rayner doesn't seem to think that a petitioner...
I don't know who Rabbi Rayner is, but you agree with that, then? That
Yes, except, of course, when you come to... I mean, sometimes people think of meditation as a form of prayer. And I think meditation can help one's mental state.
Well, that's self-help.
Yes.
Adair, that's self-help. That's not the same as, oh, please save my baby, and then God intervening to save your baby. It's not the same thing, right?
No, because the whole of evolution depends upon cruelty and agony, really, doesn't it?